Turn there. I hope that you, your walk with the Lord is continuing to grow. I hope that you did bring your Bibles. I know you can catch them on the phone if you have an app there. But it's always good to have the Word of God with us when we're in the church in the worship. And we're good. All right. Sometimes what I think is when some people end up, when someone comes to know Christ, they kind of get lost. They get excited about coming to Christ, and they kind of get lost. And sometimes when people, they get saved and they get baptized, and it's almost like we put them on the back burner, and then we expect them to jump right in there and start serving the Lord. And some do that. Some do that even before they become Christians, and God is drawing them. There's some things about salvation that we need to process this morning in our walk with the Lord, because our walk in this world sometimes can be a battle, and sometimes it can be very hard, and sometimes we wonder where God is during some things, and so we battle with some things in our life. But I think today we're going to go through some things that are kind of, I don't want to say they're basic, but they're basic to some maybe, but others is something that we just need to hear, or refreshing part. We refresh our minds in this area. But being a Christian is the most amazing experience in life that there is. I just, my personal fear is most people don't experience the full joy of salvation. That most people don't experience the full joy of the Holy Spirit that rests in them. We don't understand and know the power of the Holy Spirit that God puts into us, a living, that His Spirit into us that is so strong. And we're going to look at some of this today, because we run around like ostriches sometimes when we have a problem and we want to dig a hole, and we have this big body and we want to stick this little head in the hole and act like the storm is going to pass us by. And instead of doing that, we're going to talk a little bit about how to get through the storm without sticking your head in the ground and not facing it, because I know some of you today has got some problems that you've not been able to shake. You've got some things in your life that you can't let go of. And we're going to talk about that this morning. So we're going to be in, I'm going to read a few more scriptures than I normally do, but I'm going to put breaks in between each one of those. But I want to share, we're going to go back just for a moment. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 7. We're going to pick it up in verse 7 for a minute. He says, what should we say then? Is the law sin? Absolutely not. On the contrary, he says, I would not have known sin if it were not for the law. For example, I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, do not covet. And sin, seizing opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind. There's a piece in here in God's Word, and the Old Testament talks about the things called the laws. And we also know the Ten Commandments, right? And so there's the Ten Commandments are for us. And basically, when these laws came to be, God had Moses, he wrote all these laws and these Ten Commandments and all these things. Once these people heard it, they found out that there were some things that were just absolutely wrong. And so it became, he says, I didn't know what covenant was, didn't know it was wrong until I did it. And so the conviction of it comes upon him. And so we see this part here. It says, when he learned that, then sin seized an opportunity to come in, and then I ended up coveting. So I ended up sinning, is what he's saying. I ended up sinning. And so the law is something that we could not keep, but it was there. And it gave us knowledge of what sin is. It gave us that knowledge of what sin is. So today, even today, we have things in our world, in our land, we have laws. By the God's word has his laws and those things, and we find out that we can't keep them all. We break one, we break them all. So we are sinners, and so we need something to happen, and we struggle with this whole thing of sin, and it's inside of us because we're born as sinners, and so we just keep sinning. And sometimes we want to sugarcoat it, but it is. Sin is sin. But he moves on and he says, but I got a problem. I have a problem. And I think Phil may have preached on this some time ago, but I'm going to read just a little bit of it. He moves down to verse 18. He says, "For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh." Now, there's a flesh part of us. That is what you see today up here. I see you. I see your flesh. There is a spiritual part to us, and that is the part that God makes alive. But our flesh is dying. I was just telling Carla, I don't think I like getting older. I just don't, in some sense of it. Maybe it's because I see gray hair more and more. I don't know. But anyway, I can't move like I used to. But there's a part in me that, there's a part of me I don't like about it. But the flesh there's nothing good that lives in my flesh. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. There's nothing good in my flesh. But, he says, but here's what, for the desire to do what is good is there. It's within me. That desire, I want to do good. You want to do good. You that struggle with addictions, you want to do good, but you can't. You struggle with it. How many times have you told you were going to stop doing something? How many times have you said that you were not going to do this anymore, but you keep on doing it, and you get mad at yourself, and you're battling? Listen, that's the spiritual and fleshly battle that you are facing on a daily basis. And when you do it again, guess what's happening? The flesh is winning. Did you get that? The flesh is winning. So the flesh is winning too many battles in the Christian life. It's supposed to in the lost man's life, because he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. He doesn't have the eternal life with Christ yet. He doesn't have that. But he has a flesh. He's alive. He's a living being. She's a living being. And so, we were separated. And we'll come to that in just a little bit. But he says, "For I know that nothing good lives in me, and that is in my flesh. For I desire what to do is good." And that's in me, but there's no ability to do it. If a Christian and a Christian and a non-Christian are standing there together, and one decides he's going to do something, he wants to do it, and the other one wants to do the same thing, both of them can do it in the flesh. Both of them can do it in the flesh for their own purposes, for their own sake, for their own things, for somebody, whatever it may be. They both can do it. But if you want to do it in the right ways for God, you want to live the life that God's called you to do, there's only one way you can do it to please Him. That is, do it in the Spirit and with Spirit power. So he says, "I can't do it." So he says this, "But there's no ability in me to do it. For I do not do what the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. Now, if I do what I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but it is sin that lives in me." So that's the piece that we struggle with. It is the sin that is in us. So I discovered this principle. When I want to do good, when I want to do what is good, evil is with me. For in my inner self, I joyfully agree with God's law. But I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body. So he finds out that I got this waging war. I pulled right to the left. I pulled forward and back. I struggle with it. Now right now, some of you in your mind right now, you are so glad that nobody else knows the sin you battle with. Amen? Come on now. Amen? Every one of us have thoughts in our minds that we struggle with. We don't want those thoughts. As a Christian person, we should not want those evil thoughts. As a flesh person, a person that does not know Christ, they want to, sometimes they say it's okay because it's not breaking the law of the land. Okay? There are things that our law says is fine. There's things that, but in God's word, it is not right. But the Spirit testifies unto us that it is still wrong. But he says, "Who will rescue me from this dying body?" And he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So he says, "So then with my mind I am myself a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh I am to the law of sin." So he says this, thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus Christ, who is my Savior, who stands in the gap for me, but I still struggle with some of this stuff. And this is why we're talking about in our walk with here at New Life Fellowship. We're talking about growing up in Jesus. That's what we've been talking about for 6 months. The first part of our challenge was this, that we weren't going to ask God to bring any new people into the church, but we were going to work on ourselves. That's not what you would hear normal from most preachers, because they want to see numbers, numbers, numbers. Listen, I'd rather see 25 people that are on fire for Jesus and then let them go, and then they're going to go out and do whatever God wants them to do, and that's the good part. You can fill a church up with all kinds of different ways and fill a church up, but if it ain't right, and you got a bunch of immature Christians, it's gonna waver real quick. You gotta have solid Christians. You gotta have people that are strong. And so here we find out this. So how do I get out of this prison? How do I get out of this rut? How do I get out of this thing with sin? We know that we have to live in the flesh, but he says, listen, there is a peace that I don't think we really understand, that how powerful the death of Jesus Christ and how powerful the resurrection of Jesus Christ really is. I don't think we really quite understand the awesomeness of when God sent His Son to die for us, that we really, 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 we really miss sometimes what it really is and what it really means. Let's look at it. And that's chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus. When you stand before God, there is no condemnation for you when you stand before God as a believer in Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation when you stand before Jesus Christ, when you stand before the God, there is no condemnation. How do I know that? Because that's what the Word just said. There is no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus. So you're solid when you stand before God. You are solid. That's done. If you have salvation, you are a saved individual. You are a saved individual. Praise God for that. Praise God. You don't have to worry about your eternal life. That is sealed. That is sealed with Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the good news. There's no condemnation when you stand before the Father and give it. There is no condemnation. He says, because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. So it's God the Father, the Holy Spirit. And we are all part of that. They are all part of what we're doing. So there is no condemnation for that. There is no condemnation. But there is now, but we still have to live a life here. We still have to live a life here. So there is something about salvation that we need to grasp. We need to grasp that, that we are called now to live different. Because we've been set free, we need to act, we need to live like we're free. And that not being free to do sin, not living that way, not free to go and do whatever you want to do, but now we've been set free from that bondage of sin. So whatever that is that you feel like I can't do it, but I want to do it. There's nothing in me that can, I don't have the ability. With the Holy Spirit, you have the ability. It says you can conquer. What? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Are we going to use that just on a day where we just feel good about it? Are we going to use that scripture? Listen, you can know that scripture. You can memorize that scripture. But the best part of it is you got to know how to experience that scripture. It isn't just knowing God's Word. It's about experiencing the scripture. Putting it to use. Pulling the trigger. I can do all things through Christ. I am doing all things through Christ. I am getting through this because of Jesus Christ. I am going to testify that I got through this through Jesus Christ. And so he says, so we need to know that I am called to live different than I was before. So listen, if you are a Christian right now, are you living different today than you were when you were not a Christian? Come on now. Amen. I hope that you are. If not, then you got a spiritual problem and you need to work on that today. We're also called to obey God's Word. When you become a believer, this all of a sudden becomes your guide. This is your map on how to live. This is your book on how to survive in this world as a Christian. You follow the ways of God. You live out what God has called us. You have a relationship with Christ. You worship. You do the things He's called you to do. You obey the Word of God. Also, as we are believers, we need to learn this, that we need to start sharing Jesus with others, is where we're getting into that new step in our new challenge. But sharing Jesus with others, our challenge for the next 6 months, for the rest of the year, is this, that we go out and learn how to live out here in the community and also share the gospel as a believer of Jesus Christ. And this church should be different in 6 months. Because right now, if we had a challenge for us to spiritually grow in the last 6 months, some of you need to make sure, and you need to check your spirit and make sure that you have grown spiritually. And we take this challenge number two. We ought to know that we're going to be out there walking. We're going to be more confident when we stand out there and we walk in this world. We're going to be more boisterous, and we're going to be not ashamed of the gospel. We're going to share the gospel with others. We're going to live peaceful lives, as God's Word says, amongst everything. When everything is all disarrayed, you have a peace with God, and you're going to live peaceful with God. Amen? But it doesn't stop there. He says, those, in verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You cannot please God. So when you are a Christian and you struggle in your flesh and you go back into that, you are not pleasing God. Now, there's other scriptures we can go to today in Hebrews. We go all the way back in the Old Testament. God disciplines those whom He loves. Just because you're set free, just because you have no condemnation, does not mean that He doesn't put a whooping on you from time to time. Amen? I love my kids, right? You love your parents, have little ones, you know you love your kids, but you're going to have to sometimes put some discipline in there. Doesn't mean they're never not going to be family members no more. Doesn't mean they're not going to be your son or daughter no more. Doesn't mean that you're not going to bless them from time to time, but it means that right now, you're in trouble. Folks, some of you are in trouble right now. You're still living in the flesh, and God's not going to bless you in those areas that He wants to until you stop living in the flesh. Come on now, amen? Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh. Okay, we're not supposed to be in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Listen, if you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't have God. Alright? Just because you think you are going to heaven and you think that's all there is and you believe in God, that does not get you into heaven. Amen. You'll still stand condemned because you didn't go the way that God said you must go through. You do not get to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Amen? Then he moves on and he says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Now, if Christ is in you, listen, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. God makes us alive in the Spirit, in righteousness. Now we can do the things that we couldn't do without God. Now we can do them. But we need to stop struggling so much in walking in the flesh. Like I said, I got a lot of scriptures here today, but verse 16, the Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. Verse 16, we are God's children. We're family. We have one Father. We have a Father. And we are family. And He says that the Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit, Him and us. And He says, and we are family. We are adopted. Okay? That we are God's children. And if children, also heirs, and heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer, it goes on a little bit about what they're doing through this time with the contest, that we suffer so that we may also be glorified with Him. You're in the family of God now. Once you become a believer, you are in the family of God. You are blue chip now. You got blue blood now. You are important. I mean, you are important because God says He loved the whole world that He gave His Son. For the whole world. But now, when you receive that gift, as He reaches out and He hands it to you, and you reach out and grab that salvation gift, you become part of the family. You've been adopted. You are now co-heirs with Christ. You are children of God. So it's time to grow up. It's time to be a part and act like a part of the family of God. Amen? When you go out to eat, you pray when you go out to eat. Not because you have to, because you want to. Because you love to. Because you want to. You want to because you're different than the rest. If I see a couple, and that's very hard, I pick on that quite a bit because it amazes me. Because I go out, and sometimes I go out more than I need to because I got meetings and those kind of things, and I'm trying to back off on some of those. But I see people just, even pastors, I see them out there, and listen, you can be as good as you want out here, in here, but when you get out there, that's where it really counts. We should never be ashamed to pray in public. And I'm having a hard time finding people that are praying in public just over a meal. That gives us an awesome reason to pray. Maybe that's part of your process where you need to continue to grow up in that area. But we are family. We're a family, and we are family of God. So we need to act like that. We need to be a part of the family of God. We need to do this. We need to be different out there. We need to be, when the church doors are open, we need to be there. That's just a fact. We need to be there. It's part of the family of God. Daddy's showing up. I need to be there. You're going to be amazed. You're going to be amazed. We are not going to be stand condemned. So praise God for that. But we will give an account of our life. We will. The Bible says every man will stand and give an account of his life before God. Every man will stand and give an account. So for the lost man, that's a whole other thing. But for the man and woman of God, you're going to stand there. And how do we represent? And how are we as a family member of God, of God's family? Verse 28. He says, "We know all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purposes." That God has some things that He has set forth for us, and we need to be able to catch up on that. I believe that God has purposes for some of us to do certain things, but we know that whatever is going on in the context of this, there's a lot of persecution going on, and some of this stuff is about the people being persecuted, and they need to stand up. And He's calling even those that are being persecuted, stand strong, stand strong. We're not being persecuted, and yet we have a problem standing strong. A couple of weeks, we're going to have Michael Egypt come from Africa. He's going to be standing. He's going to be preaching the word. There's a video, and we're talking about it. I'm not sure. I don't think we're going to show it because it is very... we're still talking about it. I need to talk to you guys later. But it's very vivid. He's in Africa, and it's his own people. And they're kicking people into holes and in a ditch line. And they put palm trees all over them. And any of these Christians are stepping out of the hole. They're kicking them in there. This is going on today. This is new. They sent it to him. And they set him on fire, these Christians on fire. This is going on today. You think that's persecution? That's persecution. We have got none of that. We can choose to come to church. We can do whatever we want. They choose to go to church with a fear of their life being taken. And every one of them, their lives was taken that day. And all the bystanders, I saw the film, and all the bystanders, listen, it wasn't a film, I'm sorry. It was a recording off of a cell phone. And I watched that film. I believe I have it on my laptop if you want. I believe I have it. American church, we need to wake up. We think church is I'll go to when I want to go. I'll pray when I fit. No, we need to be more aggressive. We need to be more aggressive in our walk. But he's coming in the next couple of weeks. We'll be promoting that soon. But he says, we know all things work together for the good. If you know, listen, this is the part here to understand this scripture. This is where you got to know the difference between your emotions speaking to you, the dark side speak, whatever it may be. You need to know the difference between all the voices. And then there's that one voice that you need to know. You need to know when the Holy Spirit is speaking. And when you get to that place where you understand, and it's not some secret antidote, it's not some steps that you got to take to know what the Holy Spirit speaks to His people. And the number one place He speaks is in His Word. When you sit down and you're reading the Word and you're reading it and you're praying and you get these, like, just these things are coming at you about what's going on here, and it's teaching you, you just don't, you're used to, you hear that voice. And when you're making decisions in life and you're praying about it before you make the decision, you hear that voice. And when you're doing things and you get up in the morning and you're praying, you take some time to be quiet instead of just talking, you hear that voice. And it becomes more and more in tune where you know that what that voice is, and you go, that's the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. But we have this triumphal peace that we have in Christ that we need to understand and know what it is. And we're going to share some of these today. What then shall we say about all these things we just talked about? What about all these things from the part where I found out that, wow, I am a sinner. The law came to this piece where all of a sudden I become aware of my sin, where before people didn't. And then the problem with sin in us is this part here. I want to do the right thing. I have a desire to do it, but there's something in me that I struggle with it, and finding out that it's sin in me and all those things. And I find out also that there's no condemnation. We look through all this stuff here. But what does all this really mean? What does all this mean for us? It means this, because we are part of the family of God, that we are Christians. We need to stand strong and quit being weak. We need to be strong when we walk. Pump your chest out a little bit. It's okay. It's not, you're not boasting. You're just strong. You need to be strong. Throw your shoulders back. These are some verses you've heard, but they're all actually compiled together in this chapter. If God is for us, then who can be against us? That's God's word. Did you hear that? That's God's word. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, we just learned that if we are walking in the Spirit, doing the things of the Lord, we're not under discipline. Listen, he says, if God is for us, then who's going to stand against you? If you're in God's will, you're doing it, you're trying to live the life God's called you to live, you're living and trying to live a righteous life, which means Christ-like life, you're doing that, and you're doing that. Listen, if you're doing that, nothing's going to stand up against you that God can't take care of. The problem is with us in America, Christians, we get a little bump, we fall down, scrape our knee, we think the devil's all on us, we think the world's falling apart. It's just part of life. It's just part of life. Bad things happen in the world. Bad things happen to bad people, bad things happen to good people, bad things happen to lost people, and bad things happen to Christians sometimes. And we got to learn to work through that. He says he did not even spare his own son, but offered him up for us all. How will he not also with him be granted us to grant us everything? And God's taking care of us. In verse 33, who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? And this is Christ Jesus is the one who died. But even more, he has been raised. He is also at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. There's a conversation about you all the time. But the conversation that God has, and Christ has, is about how they're working a will into your life. And our conversation sometimes is not working with God's will, as Jesus says, may this cup pass from me, but not thy will, but your will be done. We don't put that thy will be done. We say, Lord, let this cup pass. Lord, get me through this. Lord, give me this. Give me that. Give me this. And it's all about us. Well, when Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, he's interceding for us. But there's a part in there because it goes on here. And it says, well, it's just shortly down here. He says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? No matter what you're going through, you're loved every day as a believer. You may not think that is important, but if you are a person that has never felt really true love, then that ought to be important to you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God as a believer. Nothing can separate you from the love. You see what these scriptures are doing with you and I? It's keeping us close to God. It's keeping us in the hands of God. Our protector is God. You are under a protection. It is a huge peace. It is an amazing peace. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction? No, affliction cannot. What about anguish? No, because my peace and stuff rest with the Lord. Or persecution? No, because if you find out later on as a Christian, you'll find out that death, flesh death, you'll find out that death is gained spiritually. Be in the presence of God. Or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. You notice no matter what problems you go through, and you pray, God finds you, find a way out of that. Did you know that? God makes a way. Things that you thought you would never get through. A financial crash. A relationship breakup. A death of a family member, and you thought you'd never get through it. And although it's pain and it's slow sometimes, and it's a pain and it's anguish, but you get through it. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God for his peace. At the time, you didn't think you would make it. But what did you do when you couldn't make it? You probably spent more time praying, didn't you? Maybe God kept you there for a little bit longer because during that time, you prayed and you conversed with him more at that time and more with your heart than with your lips than you did all the other times. Maybe at that time you were really conversing with God. Maybe at that time you were really praying to God. And God keeps us there sometimes. But nothing can separate us from the love of God. Because it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. This is about their persecution. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. But he says this, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors or more victorious, as maybe your version says, through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors because we are co-heirs with Christ. Amen? We are victorious. You can might as well raise the flag up and say we are winners. But it's how you live right now that really matters. How you live right now. Some of us are still carrying dead weight sin in our lives. Dead weight sin in our lives. Listen, I got to be careful what I say here. There's going to be times when you're going to need a little pill to help you out just a little bit. And I'm not talking about a pill that you buy on the street. I'm talking about sometimes you might need a little pill from the doctor to help you on something. But I'm telling you, we're going to more to the doctors out there than we are going to the doctor up there.
That's right.
You got an addiction. It's him. He's the one that can change all things. Because how many times have you that had addiction says, I'm going to quit. And you tried and you tried and you couldn't do it. And everybody else tried to help you until you said, I'm tired of being tired of it. And I really, really, really want to quit. And he came to that part and says, even though with that, I still couldn't do it on my own. I still couldn't quit, even though I wanted to sick and tired of it. I still wanted to quit. Listen, boys, I'm talking about you too with the pornography. You couldn't do it on your own. You just couldn't do it. Even though you wanted to, you really, really wanted to, but you couldn't do it in your own strength. And you found out the only way that you can really do it is if you turn it over to Jesus Christ. Because it's through Him you can do it, right? I can do all things. I can do this. I can quit this. I can do it through the strength of Jesus Christ. Not my strength. Not their strength. But through Jesus Christ. It's only through Christ alone am I going to get there on the mountaintop. And only through there am I going to get through the valley. Yea, though through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. What? I got through it. Why how? Because thou art with me. Him. He's with me, right? My wife says my mind goes faster than my mouth, so I kind of go over that a little bit. But I'm telling you, we're trying to do too much on our own and not enough with Him. So if He's the one that can get us through the addiction, He's the one that can get us through the painful breakups, if He's the one that can get us through the physical loss of love, if He's the one that can get us through the financial crashes, if He's the one, then why are we not drawing to Him? Why are we not drawing more to Him? Why are we not? He says, no, and in all things, we are more than conquerors, but not all of us are being that. He's given you that. You are more than conquerors, but you may not be living it and experiencing it. Knowing it in Scripture is one thing. Experiencing it is another. So he says, listen, in all things that we are more than conquerors. Listen, you can know it, but it doesn't mean you're experiencing it. You have the right to experience it because Scripture said so. We are more than conquerors. Okay? More than conquerors, right? But it says what? Through Him. Not on our own again, but it's through Him. So knowing the Scripture is good. Memorizing the Scripture is good, but you need to experience it. Now, how do you experience this? You tell yourself. You read the Scriptures. Bible says, Lord, I don't feel like it, but today I know this. I just don't feel like it. I can't. But I know your word tells me that I'm a co-heir with Jesus Christ. That I'm part of the family of God. That I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And you get these Scriptures and God is speaking to you through those Scriptures and telling you that you are more than all that. You are more than the junk that you are doing. You are stronger than the sin that you are committing. But only in Jesus Christ. Because in the flesh, you can't do it. You cannot do it. Even though you have the desire, you just can't do it. He says, for I am persuaded that not even death or life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers, height or depth, or anything created or any created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. There it is. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from Jesus Christ. We're the ones that push away in the relationship. We're the ones that push you away. We're the ones that get sidetracked. We're the ones that try to do our own thing. And we find out that it's not working. Because we are not that person. We're not supposed to be over there anymore. So here's the thing. What are you struggling with that you have not got victory over yet? Because if you're struggling with something, you haven't really given it to the Lord. Because I believe the Lord can take over every addiction, every problem that we have. And if we don't, if we say, well, I prayed about it and I didn't do it. Listen, you got to put the effort in it too. It didn't say it's going to be easy, but there is. But it did say you're going to win if you give it and do it through Christ. You struggle too much because you're not. You're living in defeat because you're not. Because you're not using the Spirit. You're not using the Lord. You're not using Jesus. You're doing it all in the flesh. Amen. And when the flesh takes over, it can't help but to get started strong, and it burns out. It crashes. The sin will always crash your life. Amen? Y'all know what that does when you live in it? You think you got it under control, and it's a fool's mind that does it. Now, we all become foolish at times. And we do the same thing over, and then we say, I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to do it again. I'm not. Why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep doing this? I don't want to do it. I really want to quit. You notice what I've been saying? I, like I have the power. If sin takes you and strangles you like that, you won't have the power on your own to defeat it. You know what our world has gotten to? We've gotten to the place where we want to accept as much as we can and just make it okay. So some of the things that are out there in society and the world is okay to them. But in us, we struggle because we're living in a world where it's accepted as okay, whatever it may be. It's being accepted, but we know that there's something inside of us that tells us that it's not right. We know something in God's Word that tells us that lifestyle is not right. So we're battling it, not only in ourselves, but we're battling when we walk out here. So this is why we need Jesus Christ, why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that we can walk out there and not be defeated every time we get around these places and people, but that we can go out there and we can walk and we can be victorious. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
So what are you struggling with? What have you not let go? What have you not conquered in your life that you need to conquer? We are more than conquerors through Him. It's always through Him. Every time you'll see some, you'll see a verse, and it'll be through Jesus. It'll be through Him. Never will you see that you can do it on your own. Never. Never in Scripture will you see that you can do it on your own. Praise God, we need Jesus Christ. Praise God and thank you that He said, I gotta go because I'm gonna send you a counselor. Do you think that was important when He said that? When Jesus says, I've gotta go, I can't linger any longer, I've gotta go, because there's one that comes, and you know what it was? It's the Holy Spirit. That every believer just puts something godly inside of you. That's awesome. That He puts something godly. The only thing from, it's like something from God inside of us, His Spirit inside of us. Because He knows we can't do it on our own. But with God's Spirit, we can. Amen? I want to live a victorious life for the Father. I want to live it, and I want to live it well. Does that mean I'm not going to sin? It means that we're not going to sin. We're going to sin. But we know the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit convicts our heart and says, ah! And we're like, oh, Lord, forgive me of that. Forgive me of that. And you work it out with Him. You and Him, Him and you, and you work it out. And He's just like a father. He'll chastise you sometimes. Sometimes He'll just put His arms around you and just love on you. But you know what He does? If you do it with the right heart, He always forgives. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and all of our unrighteousness. If we just ask. If we just ask. Let's go ahead and stand. I want to give you the opportunity this morning to come. If you want to come and you want to pray about whatever you're struggling with, whatever it is you need to let go of. Now, I know this message is not for an empty altar today. I know that. So don't you dare feel embarrassed, because we've all been at the altar. Whoever's Christians here today, you've been at the altar for something that you struggle with. Amen.